So it's that time of the year again. If my math is right, 28 days until Christmas. And maybe that makes you excited, or maybe it makes you a little stressed out. But I think we can all agree that it's a magical time of the year. Trees are going up, lights are going up, the cups at Starbucks are now red again, and it's finally socially acceptable to watch Elf 10 times in a row. Magical time of the year. But when you think about it, we put a lot of preparation and work into just celebrating one day of the year. One day of the year where we just sit around with our family and enjoy Christmas with one another. And to come home for Christmas, it's a big deal, and it requires a lot of prep work and preparation. Presents need to be bought and wrapped. Cookies need to be baked, the snowman-shaped one, the reindeer-shaped ones, the Christmas tree-shaped ones. And trees need to go up, lights need to be set up. It's a lot of preparation for just one day of the year. So this next couple weeks at Cross of Life, we're going to help you with preparation. I'm not volunteering to come help set up your lights, and I'm certainly not volunteering to watch your children as you go Christmas shopping. But what we're going to do is we are going to help prepare our hearts, prepare for Christ's coming. So we talk about Christ's coming. We remember that he came at Christmas. But today we're going to focus on remembering how he's going to come again. We are in the church year called Advent, which means, translated from a Latin word meaning to come or to arrive. So like the Old Testament believers, they waited for Jesus to come or to arrive at Christmas. Now we wait for Jesus to come again. Jesus said he's going to come again, and that's when he's going to come from the sky, and he's going to bring judgment. The believers will get to go with him to heaven, and the unbelievers will go to hell. And we prepare for that second coming. And we see these themes overlap about how the Old Testament Christians, they waited for Christ to come, and now we wait for Christ to come again. One of our famous hymns that we just sang, Joy to the World, it doesn't make that much sense as a Christmas hymn. There's not too much references, or there aren't any actually, of shepherds or Bethlehem or angels. It makes a whole lot more sense as an end times hymn, a song waiting for Jesus to come again and to make the world new again. So during this time, we prepare for Jesus to come again. And Jesus, he has words for us about his second coming. Lots of times, Jesus, he preaches to a large crowd of people on the side of a mountain and gives a sermon. But today, the words that we're looking at, it's just Jesus and an intimate group of his disciples. And he tells them to prepare for his second coming. This is what he says. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So Jesus says, no one knows when the second coming is. Not even him, only the Father knows. You might think, but wait, isn't Jesus God, and doesn't God know everything? And the answer is yes, but Jesus is also a true man. When he came at Christmas, he's now a true man, and he lives under the law for us, meaning that he sets aside some of his power, and apparently he can also set aside knowledge, and he doesn't know when he will come back again. This is something hard for us to understand, because once you learn something, you can't actively unknow it. That is impossible for us to do. But Jesus can. No one knows when he's going to come back, only the Father. So that also means that if anyone claims to know when Judgment Day is or when Jesus will come back again, they are a liar. Throughout my life, there have already been a couple big examples I remember of people predicting the end of the world to come. I remember Y2K, when the year turned 2000, people thought the computers were going to explode or something like that and the end would come, but we're still here. And then a couple years ago, I think it was 2012, with that whole deal with the Mayan calendar that they thought in December the world would end. And that scared some people, but now it's 2016, and we're still here. So anyone who predicts the end of the world is going to be wrong, because no one knows. I think there are some similarities between that and the Old Testament Christians, the Old Testament believers. When you think about them, they probably thought that God was dragging his feet and sending Jesus. So Adam and Eve, they sinned right away, and then right away God promised to send a Savior. But before that Savior came, it took thousands of years before he came. And they had to have thought, wow, why is God taking such a long time? And then for us today, Jesus said, "Be ready, I am coming soon." And we think, you said that about 2,000 years ago. That's not exactly soon to me. But God has a perfect time for everything. He chose a perfect time for Christmas. We have the benefit now of being able to look back at history and understand why God chose when to send Jesus the first time. There was one thing going on called the Pax Romana, which is translated the Peace of Rome, which means that during the time when Jesus came, there weren't any large wars going on, which was a good time for Jesus to come. Also, since Rome was in control, they were building great road systems, which helped a lot after Jesus rose from the dead and told his disciples to go on missionary trips. They were able to use these roads and spread the gospel very easily. Another big example of this is the fact that there was a common Greek language called Koine that was throughout the whole empire. Just about everybody knew at least a little bit of Greek. And that's the language that God decided to have his Bible written in so that people could understand and read the gospel message. So we look at that and go, wow, God chose a great time to send his son Jesus at Christmas. And we can trust that God will send Jesus again for that second time at just the right time. God has the second coming circled on his calendar. He's not dragging his feet, but he will come at just the right time. And we need to be ready. Jesus now is going to give us three different examples telling us that we need to be ready. Three different illustrations, basically with the same message, that we need to be ready. And the first example is the flood. You know the flood. You've probably heard the story of Noah's Ark and animals going two by two. But really, this was the first time where God showed his judgment over the whole world. And now Jesus, he's going to compare the judgment that God showed the first time with the flood to the judgment that he's going to show the second time. This is what he says. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day of Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." So Noah knew that there would be an ark and that there would be a flood. God told him to build that ark. But what's interesting is from the time when God told Noah to build an ark till when the flood actually came was around 120 years. Think about that. Noah had 120 years to prepare for this judgment that God was going to bring on his world. So Noah, he was preparing, he was building the ark, but what was the rest of the world doing? Well, let me tell you. They were eating and drinking and getting married. And you might think, what's so wrong with that? Last time I check, I eat and I drink every day and don't think there's anything wrong with getting married. And you're right, there's nothing wrong with that. But humans, we have this tendency to take a good thing, a blessing from God, and try and turn it into an ultimate thing, meaning the number one thing in our life. And whenever we do this, we will run into problems because God needs to be the number one thing in our life. So these people were eating and drinking and getting married, but the flood still came. So what did those things matter? What difference did it make if when the flood came, you had a full stomach or not? What difference did it make if somebody could hug his wife as he died as the flood came and washed him away? Didn't make a difference. For those people back then, their number one priority should have been to prepare for God's judgment, to believe that what he said was true, and to try and get onto the ark. But they didn't listen. They just kept on carrying on their life as normal, and eventually that judgment came. And for us today, we live in this world. We eat, we drink, we have dinner parties, we get married, and that's all good. These are great blessings from God. But this can't be your number one priority in life. Your number one priority in life needs to be to prepare for God's judgment, to prepare for his second coming. We need to be ready because the consequences are tremendous. Now Jesus, he gives a second example. He gives an example of someone living where they work. He gives an example of a farmer. This is one of the biggest professions of the time, you know, farming. And he's going to give an example of two different farmers and talk about judgment that's happening. My slides aren't working. Can you advance them? One more. Thank you. This is what Jesus has to say about the farmer. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. So there's two people, they're out in the field, and one is taken and the other remains. Now this isn't talking about the false idea of some type of rapture that some churches teach where believers get an early entrance to heaven and unbelievers, they get in a little extra time and then God sends them to hell. Looking at the context of this chapter, we just saw the example of the flood, meaning people faced their judgment. People were getting taken to judgment. So it makes sense to believe that the person taken here is taken to their judgment, and the person who isn't taken gets to be with the Lord. So one person is taken, and one gets to be with the Lord. And then the same was true with the women at the handmill. One person was taken to judgment, and the other woman got to be with the Lord. So judgment day, it's going to look like an ordinary day. At least it will start off like that. But then judgment will come, and we need to be ready. And then a third example, which is the thief. Maybe you've heard of the term, how a thief comes in the night. This comes from this section. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So Jesus, he tells us to keep watch. We constantly prepare for thieves, don't we? Every time we lock our front door, every time we lock our car, we are preparing for thieves. You wouldn't dream of parking at Square One parking lot in a public parking lot and leaving your doors unlocked. That's just something that we don't do. But when you think about it, how many times do you think your car has actually been tried to be broken into? We lock our cars every day, but my guess is they don't try to be broken in every day. But we don't know when thieves will try and break into our car, so we always lock them. We are constantly prepared. And that's what Jesus is getting at here, talking about how we need to constantly be prepared. If we knew when Jesus was coming, we could just get ready the day before. But that's not how it would be. We need to prepare for his coming constantly. So those are the three examples. And then Jesus, he says this. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is kind of a final summary statement of the whole thing about how we need to constantly be ready because we don't know when he is coming. Which leads to our first point. The flood, the farmer, and the thief, they all say it's the same message. You need to be ready. That's all it says. It's three different examples. We need to constantly prepare to be ready because what's going to happen is going to be a huge deal. Believers will go to heaven, but unbelievers, they will face judgment. And this is unsettling for us. This is hard to understand. But Jesus, he tells us that we need to be ready. So I've been looking at wacky Christmas gift ideas. And I saw this one online. And it's the idea of an ostrich pillow. So you know an ostrich. It sticks its head in the ground and avoids all the distractions from the world. And that's this idea with this pillow, where you put something on and it get rid of all the distractions so you can have great sleep. If anyone was still planning on buying a Christmas present for the vicar, I think this would be a great idea. It would take my naps to the next level. But what's the point of this? Why am I telling you about this Christmas gift idea? It's because I think this is a great symbol of how we prepare for Jesus' second coming. We're given these warning signs. He says, be ready, be ready, be ready. We know that he's coming, but we try and tune it out. We get distracted by this world. We cover our ears to the warning signs, living as if he will never come back again, trying to make this world our home forever. So we cover up our ears and we spend more time doing other things, not even giving a thought to Jesus' second coming. We spend more time baking Christmas cookies than we do preparing to make sure that we get to attend the heavenly feast. We spend more time buying Christmas presents than we do preparing to make sure we receive an eternal gift. We spend more time focusing on one day than we do preparing for the eternity. And that is how we approach Jesus' second coming. Which leads to our next point, talking about what a big problem this is. You may be unprepared, but you won't be unaware. There are many people out there, and you know them, many people who live completely distracted lives, not taking the time to think about Judgment Day or Jesus' second coming. But when Judgment Day does come, you may be unaware of it, or you may be unprepared, but you won't be unaware. It's going to be a big deal, a big event that everyone will see. Those who are unprepared will face judgment. But those who believe get to be with the Lord forever. So, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to face this judgment? So what are we supposed to do? You know, am I supposed to just pack up my suitcase and stand outside my door just waiting for Jesus to come? No, not exactly. But we need to make sure that we are prepared. We need to prepare for his second coming. And we do that by doing what we're doing right now, by remembering Christmas and staying in God's word and having our faith grow so that we can believe his promises. We remember Christmas, which is our next slide. We realize that Jesus, he came as a baby, and when he came as a baby, he laid aside his royalty. He was in heaven, and he had all glory, all power, but he came to this world as a baby. And this may be, you know, just like a cute story to some of us, but it's more than that. This is a baby who came to die. Next slide. When Jesus came, he didn't look like a king. When he died, he didn't look like a king. He wasn't wearing a crown made of jewels and gold. Instead, he wore a crown of thorns. Jesus didn't hold a mighty scepter in his hands. Instead, he had nails put through his hands. Jesus didn't sit on a powerful throne. Instead, Jesus hung on a cross. And he did all this. He laid aside his royalty for poor sinners so that poor sinners like you and me could one day be kings and queens in heaven forever. And that knowing that helps us to prepare for the second coming. Which leads to point number three. We remember the birth of Jesus, but we anticipate Jesus' return. At Christmas, we remember that Jesus came, but now we anticipate with eagerness his second coming, knowing that Jesus will come again. What fears or worries or doubts would disappear if you truly believed in Jesus' second coming? What temptations would you be able to walk away from if you truly believed that this world is short and that Jesus is coming again soon? How would thinking about Jesus' second coming affect your prayer life or your time studying the Bible? We need to be prepared because Jesus will come like any other day. Go to the next slide. So, Jesus will come like an ordinary day, which means I want you to imagine right now that you are sitting at your home doing whatever ordinary activities that you normally do. And all of a sudden, you hear the sound of loud trumpets. And you go outside of your house, and you look up into the sky, and you see a bright light and angels coming down from the sky. And then there comes Jesus. And as suddenly as the trumpets started, there is now complete silence. And Jesus, he opens his mouth to say a message that we don't know what he will say, but I wonder if his message will be, no more. No more Parkinson's or heart disease. No more rejection or cancer. No more loneliness or depression. No more casts, no more crutches, no more wheelchairs or pacemakers, no more radiation or chemotherapy, no more terrorist attacks or school shootings, no more anxiety, medications, middle-of-the-night phone calls, no more crosses along the side of the road, no more child abuse, no more rape, no more abortion, no more coughs or colds or flu shots, no more acne or love handles or double chins. No more deodorant or deodorant stains. No more waxing or shaving or plucking. No more yelling or fighting or trash talking. No more traffic or road rage. No more racism. No more addictions, diets, gossip, or stubbed toes or embarrassing moments. No more concussions or injuries or autism. No more doctors or needles or bills or taxes. No more mechanics or plastic surgeons, dentists or politicians. No more funeral homes or funeral services. No more orphanages. No more nursing homes or waiting rooms. No more divorce papers or pink slips. No more crying or tears or caskets. Because when Jesus comes back, he will say, I am making all things new. And he made your life new. Through the death of Jesus, he makes your life new. He gives us the forgiveness of sins, and he gives us a new heart that gets us prepared for his second coming. So we understand at Christmas, we remember how Jesus first came, but now we anticipate his second coming. The first time when Jesus came to this world, he came as a servant. But the next time he will come as a mighty king. The first time Jesus came as a baby. The next time he will come as a ruler. The first time Jesus came to die. The next time he will bring the dead to life. The first time Jesus came to this world, he came in the middle of the night and no one barely noticed. But the next time he will come, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So prepare. We prepare during this Christmas season. We prepare to remember the birth of Jesus, but also prepare for the second coming. Take some time to remember about how Jesus will come back. He will come back and make all things new. So I hope you enjoy this Christmas season, but I also hope that you take this time to prepare. And we now join in praying together, come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ give you hope. Amen.